About sanctification, and this subject of sanctification is very important. It's been something that people have taught in different ways. I do respect everybody's view. I don't have any right to condemn anybody, but I also have a right to teach my own view. So you may have heard people teach different things about it. I respect that. I don't bother with that, but I teach what I think I believe is truth, as I believe the Lord has shown me. So it's a very important topic that we must approach with all seriousness. It's very important. 1 Thessalonians 4:2 says, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your," what? Sanctification is the will of God. It's the will of God for me. It's the will of God for you. It's the will of God for us to live a sanctified life. God's will is for you to be holy, to stay away from sexual sins. That's verse 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Verse 7. "For God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who had also given unto us his Holy Spirit." The mainstream culture in these days and time has no respect for God. They promote all manner of immorality, all manner of stuff. And that's what the Bible told us. It says iniquity will abound. But to us who are Christians, the will of God is for us to live a sanctified life, a life that is dedicated to God, a life that is set apart for the glory of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 24, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, so that we don't get into the corruption that is in the world, preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also we do it." Can I hear amen? Amen? So God wants us to live a life that is set apart. Now, you know, we live in a culture where nothing is sacred. Nothing at all is sacred. Not even the things of God is sacred. The newspaper, the television, they can talk about God like it's not. In fact, there's nothing that's sacred anymore. But we don't allow that kind of mindset to get into us. Even the culture we came from places sacredness in a very special position. Our culture does not, we have this kind of fear of God that, you know, even when you are not born again, once you enter church, am I telling lies? No. Those of you used to do this. Then you, once you passing through the altar, you do it again. Then you go to your seat, you do it again. It's a consciousness of sacredness, of a God you may not know. So this mainstream culture that has no respect for anything, that's why there's no respect for parents, no respect for age, no respect for the thing, no respect for authorities. They insult teachers, they insult everybody, they insult principal. No respect for anything at all. When I was growing up, you didn't talk to your father anyhow. If your father said anything, the whole family, that's it. You don't even argue. And they kept discipline going. Today, your father can talk. And you can see the result. It's exactly what God said will happen. He said, if you curse your father, what will happen? He said, base of the air will remove your eye. What's talking about? Demonic spirits will attack you. That's what God said. I didn't write. He said, he that curses father or mother, he said, the base of the air will remove his what? Read your Bible, is there. And God does not joke with authority. If the devil wants to finish you, we make you confront the authority God placed over you. If you do that, you are in serious trouble, because it's not the person you are confronting, it's God that put him there. People who did that in the Bible, they had terrible experience. All of them. From the Old Testament, go and check it out. So we must not allow this kind of culture that has no sacredness to come into us. No. The Bible says we must live a life that is set apart. A life that is totally sacred. A life that is sanctified. A life that is not like others, but a life that is set apart for the glory of Jesus Christ. Can everybody say amen? Amen. So we say that this is what we pursue every day. It's in pursuit. It's not a one-time experience. You say, I'm done. No. Every day there is this walk in your life, that decision-making, you find this one is wrong, you change this one. You know, it's something that we keep doing. We keep growing. We keep growing. We keep know. The more you know, the better you act. The more you know, the better. It's a continuous thing until Jesus comes. Nobody ever arrives. But we must be in pursuit. We must be in what? Pursuit. If you stop pursuing, you start decaying. So it's something that will continue until Jesus comes. But there's an aspect of our life that already is sanctified and we can't improve on it. That's our spirit. Because the Bible talks about our spirit, our soul, and our body. So our spirit is totally sanctified. There's nothing we can do about it. It is what God did himself. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God already created the new man to be like him in true righteousness and in true holiness. You cannot improve on that. You cannot make... Bro Chris, come. You cannot make Brother Chris more human than he is. He's all the human being he can be. Am I right? You can't say, I can make you more human. No. You can make him a better person. But by nature, by his nature, you can't make him more human than he already is. You cannot make the new man. You can't give him a better nature. It's the nature of God he has. Because he's born of God. He came from God. He's a chip of the old block. And God said, I created him in true righteousness and what? Holiness. That's, thank you. Thank you. That's our spirit. You cannot improve on that. Just forget it. You can't do that. Look at what the Bible says to us. Colossians 2:11. Colossians 2:11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual what? Circumcision. The cutting away of your sinful nature. You can't improve on it. He did it. That's what he did. Cutting away of your sinful nature. Verse 12. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Once you come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the hand of God will cut off your sinful nature. That is sanctification that you can't do. He did that. Can I hear amen? He did that as an act of grace. That's why you cannot set aside grace. Because without grace, you and I are lost forever. We are lost forever. Because you can't do this. It's him that did this. The Old Testament asked the question. He said, can a leopard change his color, skin? No, it's not possible. What God will say, he said, you people that are accustomed to sin, can you change nature? And you see what grace did when we came to God. We don't merit this. We merit death. But because of the grace of God, he did this, circumcised us, and gave us a new nature. Amen? Now, the area that we need to work on is our soul and our flesh. You see, our soul is where we have all the information and make all our decisions. The Bible tells us what to do with it. James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. Man, this King James has words. Superfluity. Okay. Can somebody tell me what superfluity means? Even the people, their secretary doesn't know. What does it mean? Excessiveness. How do we know it's right? Well, you know, from fluid, fluidity. Fluid is something that flows. When the molecules are loose, when the bond is loose, it starts flowing. So it's from superfluity is something that is, man, this is something else. Superfluity of nothingness. Wow. This is 1820 English. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, the written word, the truth, written by God, engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Our soul is sanctified through the word of the living God. Then the flesh we're talking about talks about we being disciplined to discipline our flesh. But let me tell you something. Your ability to discipline your flesh is directly connected to what is in your heart. Your action is a product of the seed in your heart. For as a man thinketh, so you are going to be. Your action is directly connected to your heart. The Bible says all the issues of life come from where? Now, people teach sanctification. They teach what you do. But they don't teach where the problem is coming from. So you go and be doing, and you are failing. Because your mind is not renewed, and you want to be transformed. How can you be transformed when your mind has not been renewed? And the scripture says, no, if you want a changed life, then you get it by transforming your mind. So we come and say, okay, you need to be sanctified. Yeah, we need to. And these are the things we need to do, for God's sake, quite correct. But if you leave me there, you haven't helped me. You haven't helped me. You can tell me things that make me feel bad. Man, I can't cry. But it doesn't last long. After 1 week, I'm back to beating my wife. Because the heart has not been changed. That's the trouble. That's why some teaching on this sanctification to give you load you can carry. And tell you do things you don't know how. Paul said, how? He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, how to do this? I don't know. There's a how. The how is change your heart. Clean the inside, and the outside will be take care of itself. If you understand me, say amen. So, we're going to look at two things that are important. Number one, if the issue is the heart, then we must be sound in faith. We must be what? Sound in faith. Church, I'm telling you. If you are not sound in faith, your sanctification will proceed. Because whatever is not of faith is sin. And without faith, you can't please God. You can't be sanctified. The Bible says we are sanctified by the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Sanctified by the faith that is in me. Let's say it together. Does anybody know where Paul wrote it? He was talking about his journey from where he met the Lord Jesus, and then, you know, he called him to go and preach the gospel, and then, you know, to turn them from Satan to God so that they are sanctified by the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I give it to you as an assignment. Acts 28. Okay, let's try it. Acts. King James is beating all of us hands down. This King James, maybe I start reading it. Acts 28, 46, right? 26. Uche, what did you say? Okay, what did you say now? 26? Okay, 26. Okay, let's go to chapter 26 of Acts of Apostles. To open their 18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. The faith in Christ Jesus is a sanctifying thing. You fight with the faith you have. It's a sanctifying thing. We're sanctified by that faith in Christ Jesus. That's what even brought us, first of all, the new life that cut off the old one to start with. It's because you put faith in Christ that the hand of God cut off the nature of sin to start with. So your sanctification started from there because of your faith in Christ. And it continues because of your faith in Christ. Amen? So we need to be sure that our faith is sound. It's important that you are sure that your faith is what? Sound. And that your faith is genuine. Pretty soon you are going to see that you can be in church and your faith is not genuine. Then don't talk of sanctification because it's not going to happen. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Now, when you read this, you will say, well, I'm going to depart from iniquity. You won't go far. I'm telling you the truth, because we made these decisions before now, and we didn't go far. Am I telling lies here? We made decisions before, we didn't go far. If you read this, you will think, well, yeah, I'm going to depart. No, you need to read it in context. Let's read it from verse 15. From verse 15, we tell you that it's talking about people who are not sound in faith, people who are believing the wrong thing. If you are believing the wrong thing, your sanctification will come to a screeching halt. It's not going further than what you believe. Because you believe the wrong thing, it produces the wrong life. The wrong thing produces the wrong life. The wrong thing produces what? The wrong life. So, let me read it. I think New Living Translation might be better now. Let's read it from 2 Timothy 2:15. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his what? Approval. Be a good worker. One who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of the truth. Because it's this word that builds you up. He said you must correctly, not incorrectly. You must correctly. If you don't want to be ashamed, you need to work hard so that you have a proper and correct interpretation of the word of God. So that your faith is standing on the truth. If what you believe is not the truth, it won't produce anything that is useful. Do you get where I'm going? Are you following where I'm going? Okay. So it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of the truth. Avoid what? Worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. You see what I'm saying? When you believe all these worthless things that are not of the Holy Spirit, it will lead to godless behavior. Sanctification is not what you wake up and say, I'm going to stop this. Stop that. You are not going far. That is relying on yourself. You won't go far. You go and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what brings the sanctification. But if you are going to be sanctified by faith that is in Christ, what you believe about Jesus has to be the correct thing. It has to be the truth. When you start knowing the truth, then the truth sets you free. So you can now walk in the will of God and do what God wants you to do. But not before. So he says, if you follow these worthless talks, it will lead to more godless what? Behavior. That's absolutely true. The reason, the Bible says the reason the child of God does not commit sin is because of the seed of God is in him. It's not because of his struggle, no. There is something in him. The seed of God, Christ is in him. And the word of God dwells in him what? Richly. That's why. That's why. Because it is that seed that produces the fruit of the fruit you see, the character you see. I don't know any fruit without seed. Do you know anyone? Okay, Rosinide walks in here and comes here and start looking for fruit. What will you do? Huh? Ah, we call the wife and say, "Brother Sinadi is looking for fruit here." Say, "Where? At the altar." He says, "This is the altar of God. There should be fruit." He didn't plant anything. You cannot, church, listen to me. You cannot find fruit where you didn't plant anything. I was telling this to union people. I said, religion is dangerous. Religion will make you think, and it sounds religious, think, "Oh, I'm going to be sanctified." One time, the Lord said to me, he said, "All these things you people talk about." He said, "When you say you're working for me," he said, "No, I'm working. I'm the one working. I'm using you." He said, "I'm the one doing everything." So he said, "This idea of you're working for me," he said, "some people think they're really working for me." He said, "No, I'm the one at work using you." He said, "If you rephrase it, it will help you to keep trusting me and be humble. Otherwise, you think I'm serving God. See what I'm doing for God. And then you are hid. But all this white is God in the whole thing." So, the worthless talks, this kind of thing, he said, and this kind of talk spreads like cancer. As in the case, now you see, he sees wrong doctrine he's talking about. As in the case of Hymenaeus and who? Philetus. So, what foolish talk did they spread? Verse 18, they have left the path of truth. Remember, he said, if you follow those junk things, it will lead you to godlessness. He said, they've left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. You want to be sanctified? Shake up your faith. Make sure your faith is sound. Be sure that what you believe is the truth. Otherwise, it will turn you to godlessness. You'll be a Pentecostal heathen. A Pentecostal what? Let me tell you, that's why a lot of people are in church. They don't change. They don't change. Instead of changing, getting worse. Prove me wrong. I mean, let's be real. Instead of changing, what they used to know them with, 10 years they are born again, it is now worse. Because their faith is not sound. It's not producing the works. It's not sound faith. So he continued. Come on, let's continue and read it. But God's truth stands what? Firm, like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from, if you know what that evil is? Those wrong doctrines. You say God's truth stands like, you can't change it. The truth is the truth. You say turn away from this evil, you people are listening. That's why it calls unbelief evil heart. Turn away from this evil, because it is this evil that is producing godlessness in your life. It's not sanctifying you. Come on. Praise the Lord. Am I shooting over your head? Eh? Titus 2:2. Man, I just feel so much power of God around me. Wow. Titus 2:2. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect and to live wisely, they must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith. So he said, 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, genuine faith, which means that if there's a genuine faith, then there's fake one. Genuine faith is the one that is built on the truth. Fake wine is built on wrong doctrines and junk that people imbibe. So, what's a genuine faith? Let's go back to that. Because if we're sanctified by faith that is in Christ, we must make sure that our faith is genuine. And we have to know, we must find out how to identify genuine faith. And number one is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What did I say? Yes. That's the genuine faith starts from there. Who is your Lord? Genuine faith starts from there. Do you know in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? If you shall, let's look at that one. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what? Come on, church, what? The Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. Now, Acts 16:20. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe what? I didn't hear you. Believe. Acts 16:31 now. 31. And they said, believe on who? Do you know what it means? They didn't say believe on Jesus Christ. They put the word Lord, Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thou. To believe in the Lordship of Jesus is a condition for salvation. I'm telling you what the Bible said. To believe in the Lordship of Jesus is a foundation for genuine faith. To say that Jesus is my Lord is a foundation for genuine faith. Church, and let me tell you something. I better hear me. If you sort this out today, watch your life in 4 weeks. You will see wonders. I'm not kidding you. Are you serious? Yeah. The Lordship of Jesus over you opens you up to incredible blessings. I know a minister who was struggling. And then one day, I think God opened his eyes. He said, Jesus is not your Lord. And he went and wrote it. He said, from today, Jesus is my Lord. I'm now a slave of Jesus. That ministry blossomed. It became a worldwide ministry. Just because he realized that he never accepted Jesus as what? Lord. He mounted it the first day he came. He came. They said, say after me. It's still like this. I say after me. I say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Many people sitting here, you never have accepted Jesus as your Lord. You just went and said what they told you to say. It made no meaning to you. The commitment to that. Just mounted words. And up to today, it's not your Lord. That's why you struggle with things. Because the danger, you may not be saved. Yeah. You know, I said this in union. It was the Lord that told me this. When I finished, he said, what you didn't tell them is that if you don't believe in me as your Lord, you are not saved. That's why I got the word, it jumped out of my mouth, Pentecostal heathens. I never had anybody say that. Pentecostal hidden. That's why the things of God is difficult for some to understand. Because they are not saved. Jesus is not. They said it that time. They told them, repeat after me. They repeated. You know what we do when we come for wedding? All these things we say, sometimes we just say them because it's wedding time. I've seen husband and wife, they quarreled shortly before the altar, and they came there, and they were eyeing each other, and after the thing, they quarreled more. You know what the Bible calls such words? Vain words. To God, it makes no, it's not from the heart. That is a fake faith. Church, you love your life, make sure today that you genuinely now say to the Lord Jesus, you know you are my Lord and my what? Said, let it come from amid. I said, just try, do it now. 4 weeks. You'll be shouting, what have I been doing? Because except Jesus is your Lord, you're really not in the kingdom. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Lord. Then you're saved. Luke chapter 6, 46. Genuine faith. Genuine faith. You say Jesus is Lord? Genuine faith. Luke 6, 46. And why call me Lord? Lord, and do not the things which I say. Genuine faith. If Jesus is Lord over me, what proves it is my response to him. He said, why are you calling me Lord? You don't do what I say. I'm not your Lord. And if you read that, they say, they will come and say, we did miracles. I don't know you at all because I never was your Lord. That was fake faith. If you want to be sanctified, you start by checking your faith and making sure your faith is sound. Genuine faith. Everybody say that. Genuine faith. That when you say Jesus is Lord, you mean it with all your heart. And because you mean it with all your heart, action follows. James chapter 2, 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if we say you have faith but doesn't show it by your action? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Brethren, this is Bible we are reading. He said, are you saved? You mouth something, no me, no action. Say, are you saved? That kind of faith is fake. It doesn't save anybody. It doesn't save no one. It doesn't bring you into God's blessing. You know, the Lord said to me, he said, you know, I didn't give Abraham a law. He said, but I said he must be circumcised. He was talking to me. I mean, I was praying. He said, no, I didn't give Abraham law. I said, yeah, Lord, you didn't give. He said, but did you remember? I said, he must be what? Circumcised. He says, that is telling you, the church, that you must be born again. And circumcision is what happens when you submit your life to Christ and circumcise it. But when you don't submit, is anybody following me? Okay. So what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can this kind of faith save? There's a big question for us to answer. Verse 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this. Makes no difference. One thing was, you say you have faith, yeah. For you believe there's one God, yeah. He said, good for you now. But even demons also believe this, and they tremble in terror. So it makes no difference what we say. The difference is that demons don't obey God, and they don't respect him. And so if you act like them, you say that kind of faith is useless. That's what they're trying to say. That you are not the first that said I believe in God. That even Satan says I believe in God. So it makes no difference. If I come to church and sing, I believe in God. You say no, even Satan sings too. You think Satan doesn't sing? Go to some places that they sing and they start carrying them and everybody's doing like this. Do you know, you haven't had music until you hear some this white garment people play. Man, their music can be good because Satan was a musician. That's where he brought all these new ones. I've never seen such thing as what they call music today. Ting kam ketepa ketepa bam pa ketepa. There you go, you come with the dad, with all rubbish, nonsense, get the back. There you go, yeah. And they call it music. You don't need guitar, all you need is buckets. Two buckets, get the back. And that's exactly the music that they use in my village for the masquerade. It's not different. Go and check it if I'm telling a lie. This rap, go to my village. They use it during their festival for, yeah. You come, where they go, where they are, where they are, where they are. Say, yeah. Yeah. Everybody say, yeah. They put microphones. Say, yeah, you say, yeah. They say, yeah. How can they say, yeah? Drugs is saying, yeah. It's no more human being. I don't know why I went there. The Bible said, by their fruits you shall what? Know them. Say, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Charles, let me repeat it. You want to see wonders? Submit your life to Christ as your Lord. Give me 4 weeks. You come back and say, Pastor, wow, this is real. Because every promise of God is true. It's absolute truth. Totally truth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. That is what it says. 2 Corinthians, examine yourself to see if your faith is what? Genuine. Test yourself. Surely you know that Jesus is among you now. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. If you don't recognize his lordship, so who is Lord. Now, there has to be a willingness to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. 2 Corinthians 8, 5. 2 Corinthians 8, 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord. That is Macedonian church. They first gave themselves what? To the Lord as their Lord. Yeah. They first gave themselves to the Lord. First, the lordship of Jesus was primary to them. First, it's not serving God. It's not being somebody in the church. No. It's not tight. It's not what you are doing. It's not what I'm doing. It's not being senior pastor. Was the first thing they did. The first thing they did was they gave themselves to the Lord as their Lord. That was the first thing. So I'm serving Jesus. No. You can't serve him if he's not your Lord. That's why they came and said, we did this in your name. He said, I don't know you. All this why? No, I don't know you. Because you were serving another Lord, not me. They first gave themselves to the Lord. The beginning, the ministry, we call, I want my own ministry. That's why a lot of people have ministry and they're playing way all over the place. No. The first thing is to give yourself to the Lord. That's what the book of Romans says. Present yourself a living, that's your reasonable service. That's the first one. Is Jesus my Lord? Am I serious? Book of Hebrews said, think carefully of this Jesus. He said, sit down and think carefully of what? This Jesus. You know, when I wake up, I remind myself, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I said, this life is yours. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. I can't do anything. I throw my life into your merciful hand. You are my Lord. Guide me. The words of my mouth, the decision of my heart, everything, Lord, you are my Lord. I say, help me to be sincere. You search my heart. You know it when I'm not sincere. Yeah. Sometimes I'm crying. Because I know it's key. That's the first thing in ministry. It's not pastor. It's not senior pastor. No. Is first give yourself what? To the Lord. That's the first thing. So when he says stop, you what? Stop. Paul described it this way, Ephesians 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm a prisoner. I can't. There's no way I'm going. Romans 1, verse 1. He said, this letter is from Paul, a slave. A what? This one says servant. New Living Translation brought it out well. Give me New Living Translation. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ. He said, I am sold. He called himself a bond servant. A bond servant is a willing slave. It's not that Jesus made you slave. You willingly. So don't worry about those things they told you. Say after me. You said after them. You didn't mean it. It has not even occurred in your consciousness. You know when I'm driving, I do that. I said, Lord, you want me to do this one? And I want to do that. I say, no, the Lord doesn't want me to do this one. Ah, no, it's the Lord. And when I go do the things of my own, I run back. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. No. Point is that I'm not smart enough to run my life. It's great wisdom to surrender it to Him. He's the only one who can keep it. And we use it, we put it another way. Say, you give your life to Christ. That's what it means. You are the Lord. You take it. That's one test of genuine faith. The second test of genuine faith is, do you believe His word? Do you believe His word? Genuine faith believes the testimony of God concerning His Son. Genuine faith believes He lives by the word that comes out of the mouth of God. It doesn't doubt God. That's a genuine faith. Look at 1 John 5, 10 to 12. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness in himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar. A genuine faith cannot call God a liar. No, sir. That's not genuine faith that looks at God and says, this thing you said is not true. You can't call God a liar. He that believeth not God had made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of, no, go back to 10, please. Okay. He that believeth on the Son of God had the witness himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. 2 Timothy 2:12. A genuine faith believes on the word of God, on the testimony that the Spirit of God gave about the Son of God. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Let's read this thing together. If we suffer, we shall also what? Reign with Him. But if we deny Him, He also will deny us. Now you see what this thing is saying? Is that your faith in Christ might bring you to the point of crisis in your life, where the devil will use circumstances to make you to want to deny Jesus. He said, if you suffer, if you persevere, oh, somebody shout hallelujah. If you what? Refuse to give up your faith in His word, you will overcome. You will reign. That's what He's saying. You will reign. Because in the world, you will have tribulation. Circumstances will arise. Some of them you can't understand. Some of them, many of them you can't even understand. But I know in whom I believe. That's a genuine faith. A man who is convinced about the testimony of God concerning Christ Jesus can peg his life on that. And say, come son, come, no matter what he said about Christ is yea and amen. The Bible says if you suffer with him, oh, he said, then you can overcome. But some people, once victory doesn't come in 2 days, they say, I've tried. No, you have not tried. Abraham stood for 25 years. I'm telling you, God has witnesses. He will look you in the eye and say, okay, what about me? What are you talking about? Job will look at you and say, what are you talking about? So what are you talking about? I'm a human being. You know, the Holy Spirit challenged the church. He said, Elijah was a human being like you. So if you suffer, some things are painful. They treat you badly. They talk about you. They do things that hurt you. But because of your faith in Christ Jesus, you will suffer hardship like a good soldier. You don't buckle. No. You worship, you praise, you love and love and love some more. You love, then you overcome. Praise the Lord. Daddy was telling me a story of how in their place, packing, their neighbors would take their packing. And they go and pack far distance. That's suffering. That's your right. That's your house. But they were not fighting for it. They trusted the Lord to sort it out. They'll go and pack distance. If you suffer, you reign. Then, after some time, you think it was easy. When you come back, it's raining. Or it has snowed. Wait until it snows. Then you know that this is not an easy thing. And that's your pack, your right, brethren, is your house. They pack there. They go and pack some. He said, one day, those people came to me and said, from today, we are no more packing. You know, it was the devil. My brother, come. Come, let me show you people. It was the devil doing. You know why? He wanted to destroy their testimony in the neighborhood. Because the devil is always trying to figure a way to bring us into reproach. So that your testimony will be bunkum. And once your testimony goes, your effectiveness as a Christian is zero. Case closed. Thank you. See, all you people that quarrel all over the place. You just destroy you're useless in the hand of God. The devil kicks you like football. You. The devil wants to drag you into reproach. Read your Bible. He said he wants to bring Christians into what? Reproach. And that's what he does. He wants to do something that will make you bring bad testimony in public before people. And tomorrow you say, praise the Lord. Everybody's looking at you. Somebody sent me a video of a woman. They were three in the vehicle. She was eating banana, egg, everything. And after eating, she now turned to the other people and said, praise the Lord. She want to share the word. They say, share what? We are hungry. They didn't give us anything. I want to share. Let me tell you something. There is nothing as shameful as you thinking you are representing Christ and people sitting there are murmuring. You're a bad testimony. Don't let the devil shut you down. I'm telling you. If he shut you down, rise again. The next time they see you present Christ, they will say, wow, you do know he has now changed. Daddy told me. He said, they came and said, the devil created the opportunity, but they did not take it. If you suffer with him, you do what? You reign with him. But if you deny him, he can't be part of that thing you are doing. He will say, I'm not part of what. That's why he said, we did this in your name, so I don't know you. So we need to be people who, our faith must be on the word of the living God. Genuine faith believes the gospel truth. That gospel truth gives us victory all the time. Gives us victory all the time. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh. There's somebody here, you have a long-standing sickness. As I'm teaching, God is healing you. God is really healing you. God is healing you. You have a long-standing, frustrating sickness. But God, I don't know what your sickness is, but God is healing you. Can the church say amen? Amen. The anointing to heal is dropping on us. God is just dropping healing upon people. It's just pump, 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 pump. It's just dropping like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's not drops of lump drops. Concentrate on what I'm saying. Don't worry about that. It's working for you. I said it's working for you. I said it's working for you. So, for whatever is born of God. Okay. All right. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. Wow, okay. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, if and who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He said, the victory, the thing that gives you victory is the faith you have in the Son of God. That's what you use to overcome. You want a sanctified life, you have to overcome the world. You don't let the world rule you. You have to overcome with the faith, the sanctifying faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:2. If you don't, Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that had it. The gospel will not profit you. You won't have victory unless you believe it, unless you accept it as true. Galatians 5:2. Let me show you some examples here. Behold, I Paul say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you what? Nothing. Church, this is the truth. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace. When your faith is no more on the finished work of Calvary, you are falling from grace. Your righteousness is given to you. Romans 8:3. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. What did God do? He sent his own son in the body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Only believe and you shall see. Let me read it again. The law of Moses was unable to save us from the power of sin. That's what he's saying. Because of the weakness of our what? Sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. Can you tell your neighbor and say, God did what the law could not do? Come on. When it gets to things like this, you see the enemy trying to make you not hear. You got to hear this one. He says, God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for us on the cross. So sin is no more our master. But unless you believe this, sin will rule you. You will see the glory. Unless you what? Believe the what God. That's how you have genuine faith that believes what God has said, and that faith will produce the works. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Let's read Romans 6:5. I will stop with that. Did you get what I'm teaching? Romans 6:5. Please listen to me. Let's read Romans 6:5. We'll have a few more minutes. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Verse 6. We know. What do we know? Church, we shall know the truth. What truth do you know? What truth do you know that will set you free? You want to live a sanctified life? They have to live free from control of sin. What truth do you know? We know this truth. This is the truth we know. That our old sinful self, we are what? Crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our life. You don't make it happen. It has already happened. That's what Christians do. They want to make themselves better. They want to make themselves holy. But if you are trying to do that, you don't believe the testimony of God. And you can't succeed. You can only go this far, and everything will crumble. Because your faith is not genuine. It's not based on the truth. What you believe is not the truth. You want to make yourself good. The Bible says, who maketh you to be different from what? Is it not God? That's what God is saying. Put it up again now.
We know.
What do we know?
That our old sinful self were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. That's what I know. You shall know the truth. Talk to me. If you know this truth, sin will stop ruling you. That's how you live sanctified life. To have genuine faith. To have faith that is based on the truth, revealed truth of the cross and what God did for us on the cross. Paul said, we know this. We know this truth to be true. We declare it to be true. The next verse, please. Verse 7. For when he died, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Is that what he said? Are you here? If you're not saying yes, I'll keep you here till tomorrow. Let's read 7 together. Come on. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. You must know this truth. Don't neglect this thing. Oh my, if you neglect what God did, you will be a Pentecostal heathen. There's no other way to live this life except to live it by faith. Can I hear amen? Amen. There's no other way. The just shall live faith in the word. You got to believe this thing. Once you start believing it, the power of sin starts losing in your life. Because as a man thinketh, so he turns out being. But if you don't believe it, you think sin is over you, you start struggling to make yourself better, you frustrate yourself. You enter the way the Bible called the what? Broad way. The broad way is the way of religion. Where everybody is going. Listen to me, because a lot of you are struggling with a lot of stuff. And that is blocking you from being blessed. You won't hear now. You won't hear now. Tomorrow you come and pastor, pray for me. You enter into this broad way. This broad way. The Bible says so many people, he said there's one narrow way, and that's Christ Jesus. There's no other way to God except Christ. This is the way of Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in what the testimony God gave about him. That is the way to God. God has no other way to him except through Christ Jesus. That's the narrow way. The way of faith in Christ. The broad way everybody can enter. The Bible says, labor to enter his rest. Oh, verse 8. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. Verse 10. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Then verse 11. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead. To be dead. To be dead. To be dead to the power of sin. And now you are alive to God through Jesus Christ. Believe. Do you believe that? That's the genuine faith. That's the faith that is pegged on the Son of God. And Jesus said, if you peg your faith in me, you will never be put to shame. That's how to be sanctified. It's not something you go and say, I want to be sanctified. No, no, no. Only believe, and you shall see the glory of God in your life. I want us to worship God. God is doing something here. Let's rise up. Lift up your hands and begin to worship him right now. Pastor, come and take us in one or two worships. Pastor will take us in one or two worship teams. Let this thing God is doing. There's a lot of healing available for us. Lift up your hands and worship him.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.